Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It is the Monday edition. The Packers to the playoffs, we knew that already. They escape Minneapolis with a 16-3 loss. Hey, they didn't get shut out. And more importantly, healthy, except for maybe Bo Melton. But Jordan Love did not have to play. And if he had, Matt LaFleur had an interesting plan edition. Here we go again. Round three, the rubber match between the Packers and the Bears. The 213th meeting and third meeting this season for a berth in the NFC divisional round edition. And the Ben Johnson's already popping off. I'm not a fan, but I got to be honest, kind of understand why you'd want to see the Packers shut him up edition of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde, normally in Green Bay, still in Minneapolis. Be heading out as soon as this fine radio program and YouTube program ends. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios from his undisclosed location. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So the kids not have school today, or are they just taking a day?
No, they do. Yeah, good parenting. By the time I got done at...
I am so dumbfounded by you, man. I don't get you. I never have. I don't think I ever will, but kudos to you, man. You went up to Minneapolis in the Channel 3000 Bowl. And Jason, what did you take away from yesterday? Because I didn't take anything away. What did you take away from yesterday in this great matchup? Of maybe this is what I want you to remember, and I want all your media brethren, when this push for 18 comes, which is coming, remind everybody of this game and some of the others. So continue on.
Just so we're clear before I begin, there, squishy little stress reliever ball guy, I don't want 18 games either.
No, I know you don't, but I mean, the media complex does, and I want you to be up on the – I want you on the front lines fighting it. That's what I'm saying.
Because that'll work. Because the NFL cares not only what I think, but they don't care what anybody thinks, right? They want
public
their 18-game money.
Thing, though. I'm not arguing that, but you can at least put up a fight.
Well, we've got work to do then.
If an entire beat corps revolted, they would notice.
Right, but they wouldn't care. Like, they would say, okay, well, you guys, all your readers and listeners and viewers won't get coverage of the 18th game because you're boycotting it. And by the way, it's not like Domofsky would stand up and tell his ESPN bosses, nope, can't do it. Don't think there should be an 18th game. I'm not covering it. He wouldn't do that. And
why
quite
not?
Frankly, neither would I.
Did anybody want to cover that game? Yes, besides you. Who wanted to cover that game yesterday?
There were some terrible attitudes in the press box. There's no doubt
about
it.
Nobody wanted to be there. So it's only going to compound. It's not going to get better.
So in fairness, before I get to all my takeaways, there were games that obviously did matter, right? There were games that did matter in Week 18, Game 17.
Sure.
Highlighted by last night with the crucial missed kicks by each kicker, so Aaron Rodgers goes to the playoffs. Yeah. But
Boswell's wasn't crucial. They're still playing. So his kick wasn't crucial.
But there were most games that were meaningless.
No,
I mean,
you got floating around back there. What's going on behind you there?
We're packing up to go home. We're packing
up. Got some action.
We're heading home. Yeah.
All right.
So my takeaways. One, which I kind of knew already, Matt LaFleur is forever scarred by Christian Watson tearing his ACL in last year's regular season finale. No doubt about it. Hey, thanks. Thanks for being on the show. There's no doubt about it.
This is your principal calling. I can't believe you're missing school to sit in a hotel room with your dad up in Minneapolis.
Bring him coffee.
They did. That was very nice of them.
Is that an internship program?
Oh,
did she just get credit?
Well, she's getting credits.
It's a work release. Then it's okay. Yeah.
Wait a minute. No, they're not. Work release is a little bit different. So, I did call them in, and I did tell the truth. I didn't pretend that they were sick. But be that as it may. Matt LaFleur, because the way I asked him the question was, if it had not played out the way it did last year, would you have played your guys? And he said there's no doubt that that had an impact on him. And so,
I don't
blame him, right? That is, you lose Christian Watson.
Experience shapes your decision making. No,
yeah.
That's why, you know, history is going to repeat itself. I don't have a problem with what Matt LaFleur did yesterday, by the way.
Yeah,
none at all.
Ben Johnson seems to. He played his guys and his team lost to a team with nothing to play for. We'll get to that coming up. Also, I think Baron Sorrell, who has played on and off throughout this season and whose dad told us in our YouTube comments that 99 was going to shine, shined yesterday. And I think it was Josh DiMaggio in our little group text who said, how am I supposed to feel about the fact that Baron Sorrell has made more plays in one game than I have seen Rashawn Gary make in the last X number of weeks. And I thought that was a fair critique from Joshy. He did. He had a good day yesterday. He was impactful. And by the way, the Vikings played all their guys, and this defense, again, J.J. McCarthy and Max Brosmer are not exactly great quarterbacks. But this defense held up okay. They got some key stops. They forced some field goals. They weren't great by any means, but they did it with basically two starters participating, right? With the two safeties, Javon Bullard and Evan Williams, and then maybe a little bit of Isaiah McDuffie sprinkled in.
McDuffie, yeah. Yep.
My other takeaway is I don't think they're going to get 11 interception version of Trayvon Diggs. But he looked like he was serviceable, right? He tackled, which is something that obviously Carrington Valentine, they are unhappy with in his performance in recent weeks. But he's going to help them in some way. Now, he's also undeniably potentially going to get cooked by a Bears wide receiver, right? Because his numbers this season have not been very good. He's given up a passer rating of 157.8 or something like that. So
that's not
almost great. Perfect. So yeah, those were some of my takeaways. And my other takeaway is Clayton Tune had no chance. Like, they wanted to make sure that they got everyone through this game healthy to the point of not playing any of their starters other than Jordan Morgan, who I haven't looked at the tape, as the coaches say. But the feeling I got was that he was not star-spangled awesome at left tackle. Your thoughts?
Okay. I don't have takeaways. I'm done with this game. I'm over it. I don't want to talk about it at all.
I wasn't planning on it until you asked.
You're up in Minnesota. Your boots on the ground for the second time all year, and we're not going to ask you anything? Like, that's crazy talk by us. So thanks for your being up there for 4 days and grinding this thing out. We appreciate you. but that game was meaningless. I told you after the Ravens game it was. You tried all week to tell me that it wasn't. Come on. Like, this was worse than a preseason game. This was worse than a preseason game. It was unwatchable. So it's over. Nobody cares. By the way, Matt LaFleur and Prize Picks, thank you so much for kicking that field goal with McManus. Thank you so much. That helped old T. Even though I lost everything else at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Thank you so much. But outside of that, let's just move it along, man. That was a Travis. It wasn't a. I'm not gonna say Travis. It just was dumb. Like, it was.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
How much of your opinion is shaped by the fact that a month ago we thought there was no way in God's green earth that you wouldn't be cashing the plus 9.5 wins ticket at Hard Rock Casino Rockford? And here we sit a month later, and that ended up not being a winning ticket as the Packers finish 9-7-1.
It doesn't cloud my judgment on this at all. This one at all. The Ravens game, obviously, I still can't believe what I saw. And it was nice to see that the defense, you know, bowed up yesterday a little bit. So no, that's none of it. It is what it is. You know, when you get into these games, play silly games, sometimes you end up with silly results. That's just how it goes, and I don't have any problem with that. Now moving forward, and this is where I am starting to get really confused, and I need to get
– oh, boy.
We're not going to take positives and negatives today.
No.
I don't care. And if you want, you can put them on Twitter or whatever else. That's great. Two very ardent Packer fans. They have been – you know, since we moved down to Sun Prairie, these guys are, you know, I talked to them a bunch. They're texting. One of them is an avid listener to the show.
What's wrong with the other
one? I got this I think he's busy. I don't know. I push him to listen and watch more. Maybe 2026, that'll be his new thing.
He's busy.
Abe, get your butt moving. Well, he's got a job. I mean, so I understand that there's stuff that you have to do. Danny Boy's got a job too, but he does listen a lot more. So anyways, they both are texting last night and saying, as long as we beat the Bears, I feel good about the rest of the season. And I'm looking at it like this is a group that has railed against the Green Bay Packers not going all in and not winning championships. Are we all resigned that, yes, we should beat the Bears but then lose to Seattle and be done? Are we all going to be content as Packer fans if we go down to Chicago, beat their brakes in Saturday night, and lose a good game out in Seattle the following Saturday? Are we all going to be content with that? Because it feels like a lot of Packer fans are. I'm not in that camp.
That's what I was just going to ask. So you would definitely not be.
No. This thing's wide open. Now, the injuries play a factor. No doubt Micah Parsons and Tucker Kraft, two of your best three. Mm-hmm. But are you really looking around this NFC and saying, boy, Sam Darnold really scares me. Oh, my boy, oh, good Lord. We can't beat that team. They scored 13 points the other night against a bad defense. Our defense is better. I'm not saying crazy things, but it just seems to me as if we're coping and we're kind of – it feels like – and I text these boys back last night. It feels as if we're giving them the Brewers treatment. Oh, good season. This hasn't been a great season. The finish of the season's been pretty crappy. But it all resets, and it feels as if we're giving the same treatment that we give the Brewers because of the economics of baseball. We're now giving the Green Bay Packers because of the injury effect. And I'm wondering if that's a more universal feeling in our fan base than just Danny and Abe. That's all.
Well, first of all, I understand where Danny and Abe are coming from. I think that they, I don't know if satisfied or whatever word they chose would be the one I would choose. But again, I'm not here to tell fans how to think or feel. But I don't think it's fair to take the injury factor out of the equation when you're evaluating this season, whether it's with Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, whether it's with the overall success or failure of the season. They are up to 15 guys on injured reserve. And let's be honest, that was the number ballpark that your 2010 team was at. But they have lost much more significant pieces. Both those teams lost a starting offensive lineman, right? That 2010 team lost you. This team lost Elgton Jenkins. They have both lost a tight end. But as good as J. Mike was, I'm still not convinced that J. Mike was as good as Tucker Kraft is now. So I don't think it's the same.
Oh, I don't know, man. J. Mike. Tucker is a better overall tight end. J. Mike, y'all remember 09?
I do remember.
Y'all remember 09? Okay, I just wanted to make sure you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They lost Nick Barnett in 2010. Mm-hmm. Nobody that they lost on defense is the parallel of losing Micah Parsons.
Totally agree. 100% agree.
And while I don't think Devontae Wyatt is a perfect player by any means, we have seen how the interior of their defensive line has struggled without him. And frankly, he would also help their pass rush because he at least collapses the pocket forward, and then it gives edge guys more opportunity. So I don't, like, I do think you have to, that is a mitigating factor. Now, the fact that they're playing the Bears in the first round of the playoffs, a team that I still believe they are better than, which I don't think is some sort of hot take, I think you should expect them to win. And I think you were the one who said this in our little text chain last night. I'm pretty sure the NFL thinks they're going to win too. Because then the Packers would go Saturday to Saturday to play the number one seeded Seahawks in Seattle. So I understand that it's a polluted mindset to look at these mitigating factors and say, oh, this changes my expectations. But to your point, there is undeniably a wide open opportunity in the NFC. None of these teams are great teams. None of them. Nope. The Bears aren't. Nope. The Packers aren't. The Eagles
including
aren't.
Including Green Bay. Including
correct.
Green Bay, by the way.
Right, exactly. So, you know, we all remember the team you were on. This is the right team gets hot, and it could be anybody, right? The Rams have shown their flaws. We know the Panthers have their share of flaws. They talk about backing into the playoffs. They lose to the team that they were battling. That was not a win-and-get-in NFC South game. Then they have to, both teams have to sit and wait to see what Atlanta,
well,
which fires
Carolina.
Its,
oh, it was a win and get
well,
in
that's
for
true.
Carolina. They just didn't.
So, but they got in anyway. And a team that fired its coach after the game got them in. So there are no great NFC teams. In the AFC, maybe you can argue that that's a tougher road and it's not as wide open as the NFC is. But I agree with you. I agree with Tausch. I don't have the shirt with me. But I think it's wide open. I just don't know what to expect from the Packers. And that's one of my questions for our fans today, is what exactly are you expecting, along with your question from Abe and Danny, which is, will you be satisfied if the Packers beat the Bears and that's the last win they have, right? Because then they would go to Seattle and theoretically lose in that world. I don't think Seattle's defense looks really good to me. I haven't watched them all the time, but I certainly watched them the other night against San Francisco. That looked like a pretty good group.
I remember you talked about that, how physical Seattle's defense was.
Nate Hobbs would fit right in. So I agree that it's wide open, but those are our questions for today. Do you believe that this is wide open? Do you like the Packers? What are your expectations? And then if they only beat the Bears, they beat the Bears and then lose to the Seahawks, how do you view this season? 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Tausch, I do have to ask the corollary question. What if they lose to the Bears?
Yeah. What are you asking? Matt LaFleur's job status? If we lose to
happens?
The Bears, this season is an utter disappointment. If we are in the same exact place and we lose to a team that, you know, won the division, But I think we all in our heart of hearts, and you could tell everybody in that locker room feels this way, that we're better than. If you lose in a win-or-go-home game to your rival this whole season, you didn't win the division, you're basically, you know, the last team, you're a tie away from not advancing. This is where we're at. I think there's going to be a lot of long, hard looks at where this team is. Because you lose this game in the playoffs, I still think Matt LaFleur is going to be the coach. I don't think there's going to be wholesale changes, which I think some Packer fans. I promise you this. If that happens Saturday night, next Monday's show is going to be a complete referendum on Matt LaFleur. You can take that to the bank, and I'm guessing it'll be at least 50-50 saying we need a new leader. That's what I think will happen. I am not in that camp. But I'll say this. You don't beat the Bears. What are you taking away from this season?
Boy, it sure was fun to have Micah Parsons on the team. Right?
Yeah, the optimism for next year is going to be strong regardless. Because you're basically saying, we're getting two all-pro players back and a big-time important defensive lineman back into the mix. Right? Mm-hmm. So that part, the offseason is going to be the offseason. I'm talking about this season. You go and go all in getting Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. And if you lose to the Bears in Chicago as a 7 seed again for the third straight year, it ain't going to be pretty. And this is not going to be deemed some great successful season. It's going to be looked at as a disappointment. This game Saturday is going to be the difference between disappointment and a big group of fans led by, in my world anyways, Danny and Abe saying, yeah, with the circumstances we're in, this is pretty good. Which is, in fairness, how we look at the Milwaukee Brewers. And I never in my life of doing this show thought there'd ever be an equivocation of, oh, they did this. Because has there ever, Brewers fans, we all understand the economics of it, and I think that always supersedes the expectation game. I think the injuries this year are going to do that for some, too. It's not going to do it for me, I don't believe.
Okay, that's fair. I understand that. I would say that the injuries are significant enough that that's what changes
absolutely
the perception.
They are, but we're not. There's no 85 blanking Bears out here. There is some juggernaut.
I understand. And I personally expect, here's my expectation, and then we'll get to a break and get the calls. My expectation is they go down to Chicago, they beat the Bears, and they lose a tough one in Seattle. I don't think they'll get blown out by Seattle. I think that is what I expect the end game for this season to look like. And if that's the case, I have no problem with Packers fans who choose to grade the season on the curve that I'm talking about. I also understand those Packers fans that are going to look at it and go, the thing was wide open. You had a chance to beat Seattle at Seattle and you didn't do it. And they're ticked off. Totally. If they feel like that after the divisional round, I get it too. They've never made it past the NFC divisional round with Matt LaFleur not having Aaron Rodgers. You want to say that criticism? That's fair too. I get it. I get all that. But again, if we could live in fantasy land for just one moment and think what this team is, like let's have them have four other guys get injured, but they get to keep Parsons and they get to keep Tucker Kraft. I have sky high. I need to make plans for Santa Clara expectations. It's to me, it's about the guys that are hurt. It's not about the 15 guys total. It's about those two specific players.
That I agree with. But I'm still looking at it and saying, who is that much better? And I know fans are going to say, well, you're being a homer, you're doing this. And there probably is a little bit of that. But I just look at the big picture on things. Green Bay could easily get beat on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And to me, that'll be very disappointing. And this season has been really set below what the expectations were. The injuries do play in, and I do think if we go out and play a good game in Seattle and they beat us as the one seed, I think I'd probably be leaning more on your side of it. I just am looking at it right now, and our fans already thinking that. It just felt Brewers-y to me, and I know I don't love that. Love that at all.
844-770.
I just got the hot new Pella Reed, hot off the presses, for the new year and for your New Year's resolution. The sky is the limit with Pella's zero interest for 4 years finance offer. No payments and no interest for 4 years. Think of everything you can do in 4 years. You can win an Olympic gold medal, get a college degree, you can raise your toddler until they're ready for school. Time does fly. Serve a full term as president? Oh, my gosh. Start your own journey toward meeting your personal goals and enjoy Pella's highest quality products with exclusive features custom made for your home. This deal ends January 31st, so schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Just think 4 years with AI. Lord knows where we're going to be in 4 years. And you get free financing for those 4 years with this New Year's deal from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. If the Packers beat the Bears, is that sufficient success for this season given the injuries? How do you feel about that? The other question I frankly have, and I don't love asking it, is as a fan, do you see this as a must-win game for Matt LaFleur? I do wonder that. I don't love that narrative because I don't agree with it, and neither do you. But I feel like the amount of vitriol for the head coach that I get in my mentions is really remarkable. It's really crazy. I'm taken aback by it.
And for a guy that has won a lot of football games here.
Yes, indeed he has.
This whole idea of trying to bring in Kevin Stefanski instead, like, what are we doing? I saw people writing that out yesterday, too. Like, come on.
Because he's different.
Come on,
right?
Clicky. Well, Clicky Florio.
Click your phone dial, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll get to your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
That is the Carbless talk and text line. Again, courtesy of Abe and Danny, Tausch's buddies. What tier would they be in? Never mind.
I don't tier people. So
I know you don't. I know. I wasn't even going to. It was a rhetorical question. I wasn't looking for an answer. I was going to move on from it right away.
No.
Okay. If the Packers beat the Bears and then lose to the Seahawks, will you be satisfied as a Packers fan? 844-770.
J-Dub, who's there more pressure on? Bears or Matt Packers LaFleur this weekend? 100% agree. This is not, like, if the Packers win, I thought, you remember when we beat the Cowboys and it was all house money, and then San Fran was house money? I said, we'll never have another house money game with this group because that's not what we do.
Yeah, you were right.
I think if we win, next week will be house money.
Yeah,
in a lot of
Packers.
It won't
that.
Be for I
not
will
for
not
you.
Look at it that way.
Not for you, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, and I don't think Packer fans should. I just feel like because we've lost games and because Micah got hurt, and listen, that post game after Micah got hurt, I said our championship aspirations, and I'm guessing they probably are. So, but I just feel like watching the Bear game and how our defense played, but then the Ravens game comes up, and I don't know what the hell to expect. That's the hard part I'm having with this. What defense are we getting? I have a good idea what offense we'd get had we played the last 3 weeks. I don't know what we're going to get the first half in Chicago.
That's fair.
I don't have a clue.
Incredibly fair. Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm just kind of – I don't see another team being so much better than this team. And that's the hard part I have. Just like I thought when we had San Fran on the hook and we let him off.
Mm-hmm.
Those opportunities, you don't know when they come back. You don't know when Mike is going to blow a knee or Tucker. You don't know that. When you have it, you got to take advantage of it. You know who knows that really well now? Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I just don't want to give in to the, oh, shucks, man. If only you can do
yeah,
it.
So if they went on Saturday night and they're not a lock stocker, as you like to say.
Favorite.
But I do believe they should win the game. On top of that, I'm not saying that people should be satisfied if they go to Seattle and lose, but I would think that the reaction after the game would be a higher level of understanding and forgiving. That's all. You're still going to be disappointed, especially if you're in position to win the game. To me, that's the biggest thing.
I guess it depends how the game goes. Yeah, if we get trounced like we did against the Falcons in that NFC Championship game.
Exactly.
You put your hands up and say, we're outmanned. That's a whole different animal, too. So
yep.
We'll worry about that when we get there.
Yeah, I got to win the first one first.
Yep.
Saturday night, 7 o'clock at Soldier Field. All right, let's get to our first call. Then we'll start digging out from under this avalanche of calls, which is awesome, by the way. I love that we're getting this many calls. 844-770-3776. Not quite to full phone lines, but very close. Let's start in Salem, Massachusetts. That's where the Salem witch trials were, right? There's a lot of Salems around. Is that the witch trial Salem?
That is witch trial Salem, yes.
All right.
That was Maine. Well, you sure it wasn't Salem, Maine that the witch trials were?
No, that's where they make blueberry pies. Let's go to John in Salem, Massachusetts. Sam, good morning. Or John, good morning from Salem.
Salem, how are you this morning?
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, guys. Doing great. Hi, guys. I'm awesome. How are you?
We're good.
We're doing great.
Sorry to lead in with such a lengthy introduction about witch trials and the like. What do you got for us?
No problem. Salem, Mass is the witch area, by the way. My neighborhood is actually called Witchcraft Heights, so they really lean into it big time over here.
That's amazing.
So, isn't it cool? Halloween's big here. A lot of people get excited about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Jason, I wanted to touch on two things. First, how you said that or asked if we believe that the NFC is wide open. And I do completely. And I think the matchup with the Bears in the wild card round plays a lot into that. And not only that, I think how it happened is a big deal, too. At least myself, I wanted no part of Philadelphia in the first round. And a lot of that stems from what they looked like against Baltimore. Philly isn't the same team they were last year, but I got to imagine Saquon Barkley was licking his chops if he had the chance to watch that film. And I don't think that was great. I do think that game was an aberration. It was kind of the accumulation of clinching with Detroit losing to Pittsburgh. It was the collapse against Chicago with Jordan getting hurt. And then it was Hobbs and Haddon and Riley going down in that game. So that was just kind of a perfect storm. I don't think that's truly representative of who this team and who this defense is. Mm-hmm. But now that they've got the Bears and that they've got them based on how everything went down yesterday, they've got a team that thrived on fourth quarter comebacks and one score games this year who have now lost two consecutive of those to finish out the year. So they've got to be reeling a little bit, maybe not quite feeling themselves as much as they were. And I think it's just a better matchup for the Packers. I think they can push them around a little bit, whereas I don't think they can with Philadelphia. And getting that one win in the playoffs can kind of kickstart everything. I think it's huge. And then in terms of if you know, they beat the Bears and don't go anywhere further, I think you always say that words matter. I think it would be disappointing. I don't think it would be fair to call the season a failure. Not only because of the injuries, but exactly like you said, it's who is hurt and who is behind the players that are hurt, right? When Ryan Grant went down in 2010, James Starks was excellent in the playoffs. When they lost Woodson in the Super Bowl, Tremont Williams broke up the pass on fourth down to clinch the Super Bowl. They had guys behind the folks who got hurt stepping up, whereas, you know, Micah Parsons goes down, Rashawn Gary's a ghost. They haven't been able to generate any pressure whatsoever. Tucker Kraft goes down, and their yak potential is just out the window. Nobody has really stepped up and taken that on. So I think all of those things factor in, and I think it's important to mention all of those. If they do win a playoff game with how this season has unfolded, I don't think it's fair to call this year a failure. It's disappointing for sure, but not a failure in my mind.
Words do matter. All right, John, because you had this was such a great call, and you managed to sneak a ghost reference into a call from Salem, let me ask you this. Are you concerned about what this team is going to look like with the quarterback not having played in 2.5 games? Tausch said, who knows what the first half will look like offensively. I think that's a very fair critique. I still think what Matt LaFleur did yesterday was absolutely the right decision. But and I came around on that because I was not feeling that way early in the week. Are you worried about what they're going to look like on Saturday night because of the way they've approached this last week and a half?
I think I'd be lying to you if I said no, but I think they're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. And the fact that they had Love active at all was mind-boggling to me. I know LaFleur said that if he had to go in, it would be handoffs only. And this is a very polluted mindset on my mind. But the first thing that came to my mind was, what if he goes back to take a handoff and Jacob Monk gets blown off his block and steps on Jordan's ankle and he goes down? Like, nothing is guaranteed, even just with handing the ball off. I don't think he should have been active at all if that's the route you're going to go. I think that was kind of a half measure that I was really not comfortable with. But I think this is where LaFleur can earn his money and get Jordan into a rhythm. I don't think we need to – I would like to see them set up some quick, easy hitters for Watson, maybe get some of that yak that they've struggled with all year and not rely on, the inside handoff to Jacobs and hoping he can push the pile for 6 or 7 to get the drive started. Get Watson on a slant, draw something up for Reed so that he can catch something in space. Kind of get them going that way is what I would like to see.
Great call, John. We appreciate it. Lots of really good stuff in there, Tausch. I thought that was a great call.
That seemed like that was almost like your
doppelganger.
Odin. Yeah, you guys have very – like, you guys are in simpatico, man. He is all in on Channel 3000 is what I took on that.
I'm sure he is. I guess I'm curious, and then we'll get to more calls coming up. I am curious if what your concern level on a scale of 1 to 10 is about what the offense is going to look like. He made – and again, I asked LaFleur early in the week, and then I asked him yesterday about having Jordan active, and that was when he said that he would have – no passes would have been attempted. But there is weird stuff that can still happen. And by the way, Josh, in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments, Love had his helmet on all that time because he's listening to the play calls the whole time. So that's why he's doing that. It wasn't like he was itching to get in. A few people have pointed out that he was wearing his helmet on the sideline. Your concern level about this offense?
I would say it's probably at like a 6 or a 7. Just because you don't have – now, the one good thing is I don't think the Bears are going to be some offensive juggernaut against our defense. If you get off to a slow start and you're playing San Francisco or the Rams, you're probably going to get run out of the gym because I don't think they're going to get off to slow starts, especially, with what the Rams had to do and what they put up yesterday. With the Bears, that offense, it seems as if – and you watched the game yesterday
I did.
That was a slow start. They rallied, but you just don't get the sense that this is some offensive juggernaut like they did against San Fran. I don't think that's going to happen against our defense, even without Micah. So you're going to be able to get away with it a little bit, and that's why I like this matchup as much as I do. Mm-hmm. But you're still going to need to find it, and it's not – the postseason, everything gets amplified. Every play – you don't know which one's going to be the big one. And if you start pressing, and that's what happens in football. If you go 2 series and go 3 and out, everybody tightens up a little bit. So getting off to that fast start, I always thought was really important in postseason football. You can overcome it. You can find a way. And I think that Jordan Love and this offense will, but I would be surprised. I'd be more surprised if they came out guns blazing and just walked up and down the field the first 2 possessions with as much time off as this unit has had.
Tausch, tell us about Annex Wealth Management. as we kick off
fun
the new
year.
Fun
new partner. And lots of people make New Year's resolutions. Many of them, well, they'll crash and burn. And sometimes it's a lack of discipline. A lot of times it's bad advice. You can see some on TikTok or InstaReel or Twitter or whatever, and you start guiding your decisions by that quote-unquote expert. Sooner or later, for most people, might take a talk with an expert. So if you have a resolution that deals with your money and your earnings and investments, go talk to the experts at Annex. I've been over to Annex. They have studios. They have so many research. They got everything you're looking for at Annex. They have a team of experts that are ready to listen and talk you through your financial goals at Annex Wealth Management.
More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Packers because we're on the postseason.
The time these guys get on that bus, it's over. It is a new season, and it is all about the next step.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Let's get back to your calls. 844-770-3776. I am very curious to hear what this guy says about our disappointment, satisfaction view. And again, let's not, if we learned anything from their last meeting, there's nothing you can take for granted in Packers-Bears. Based on the way that fell apart for the Green Bay Packers in Chicago a couple of weeks ago. But I want to get this guy's take. Let's go north of the border.
Oh, baby.
To Canada. And let's talk to Ricardo. Ricardo, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, boys and girls. It's playoff time, baby. This is what it comes down to. Listen, the only few takeaways I have. Two takeaways from yesterday's game only, and just two, even though the game was completely meaningless. One, we got a hell of a punter. Dalen Williams has a leg on him. God bless that guy. And two, yesterday separated the real fans from the mediocre fans. Because if you watch that game, you're a true fan, okay? That was almost torture, but you got through it. Regardless, we turn the page. It's Bears week. It's playoff time. Now is when everything is 0-0. Time for some get back. Time to finally, you know, rise to the occasion. You know what I mean? Everything is leaning up. Everything is wide open. No team scares me, let alone the Bears, the Seahawks, everybody has a weakness. Everybody has strengths. Finally, Malafour did a smart thing and he rested the starters. So now we got some help. We got some help for some key players going to the playoffs, and that's what we needed, you know? Jordan Love. Now is when Jordan Love can really cement himself among the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the league, mm-hmm. The elite, the elevate. Now is when he needs to literally start going to 300, 400-yard passing games, four touchdowns. You need to raise the offense around you. No more wide receiver committees. I don't care about that stuff. Best players play. Watson needs to be targeted. Reed needs to be targeted. Jacobs needs to be targeted. Nixon, you need to return kicks, okay? That's what you do best. We need you back there. You're an all-pro. Forget about, like,
sign
enough is enough.
That.
Now is when everything is in the middle. Everything is in the middle of the table. All the chips are on the table, okay? Matt LaFleur needs to play. He's the coach for his life because guess what? It's win or go home now. You can rewrite the whole season with one game. If you win this game, no one will care about this four-game lose. We could have won four games straight and still lose in the first playoff. It would be a disappointment. You lost four games straight, and if you win your first playoff game, guess what? No one cares. You're on to the division round. Mm-hmm. It starts fresh. Let's go, boys. It's Bear Week. Let's shut them up down in Illinois. Let's have some fun. It's Bear Week, boys.
Yes. Woo! Let's go. So I agree with everything Ricardo said except for the fan part of it. The Packers didn't care yesterday about the game. Why should the fans have cared?
Ooh.
Like, that's how I look at it. So I disagree with Ricardo. It's not about the real ones or whatever. You heard a coach tell you they'd hand the ball off 100 times and not think about throwing a pass. They didn't care. And that's okay. I mean, I understand why it all played out, but I'm not going to let Ricardo, who is the beacon of positivity, say that if you didn't care yesterday, no. I disagree with Rico big time on that part of it. But the rest of it couldn't – nobody is going to care about the four-game losing streak, although I'll say this. had you won the last two, we'd be in the two slot hosting the next two games at Lambeau. So if you end up getting beat and have to go to Seattle, where you could have played Philly or someone else at home, there is a ripple effect that you could look at and still kind of say, boy, if, what if, what if, what if. That's not the world we live in. You deal with where you're at. And I don't think going out to Seattle, now it's going to be a big, big challenge. It's not going against the big juggernauts that we've seen in the past. Even though they're 14-3 and are a very good football team, I couldn't agree more with let's find a way to get this done in Chicago, and then we can figure out how to go beat Seattle.
So if you are power ranking your regrets of the season and you take out the injuries, because there's nothing you could have done to prevent those, is the biggest regret has to be, even more so than the Bears loss, playing the way you did against Baltimore and allowing them to bully ball you with their Hall of Fame running back. Because, again, you win that game, the Bears lose to the 49ers. There is something on the line yesterday. And you're telling me that the Packers' frontline players don't beat the guys that they put out there for Minnesota?
No, we had to beat Minnesota yesterday.
Yes, no, and suddenly now, exactly, you're the two seed. You're playing at home in the first round.
Jesse and I cash our Hard Rock slip.
I know, but that doesn't affect how you view it. Yep.
No, it doesn't, but it's part of the deal. Here's what I would say. I would disagree with your premise on the Ravens. The Ravens came and beat the hell out of us. That's football. What are you going to do? Oh, bow up and be tougher? No, we are who we are, and they did what they did.
That they beat themselves against the Bears.
I look back at why on earth were we and again, Jordan Love can't make that throw, but the Cleveland Browns loss is completely unacceptable. They couldn't move the ball a yard. Run the ball, punt, and win the game. You try something flashy, you throw a bad interception, and that gets your blank beat. That game changed the complexion of the season too. Carolina, you could make the same arguments. They beat us. We played like junk. Cleveland, we handed it to them. Those are the ones that get you. Baltimore beat the hell out of us. I can't say. What am I going to say? Well, please stop Derrick Henry? Yeah, it's easier said than done. We couldn't do it. Stop Cleveland Browns from going on an 80-yard drive to go get a tutter to beat us? Yeah, we had Micah Parsons then yet too, by the way, and he was the Sandman, by the way. So, no, that game is the one that I'm going to look back at this season and say, if only. Because if only, all of a sudden, we're probably 11-6-1, and we're the division champs, and we're hosting everything but the NFC Championship game.
And certainly yesterday would not have been the type of game that it was. 844-770-3776, 844-770.
Was there a worse game in your 30 years of covering the team, strictly from a watch and an execution? Is there a worse game that you've watched in 30 years?
I'm going to have to think
Jason,
about
we had
that.
Negative 3 yards passing for a while, wasn't it? And it was,
they fit,
we
no,
didn't even
no,
try.
No, not for a while. They finished the game with minus 7 yards net passing. That's how they finished the game.
You cannot have watched a game in your 30 years that was worse than that.
There was the Lions game in 18 when Rodgers, that was the last time they got shut out. After McCarthy got fired, it was the finale.
We were still trying to move the ball. Yesterday, we weren't even trying to move the ball.
Like Rodgers at least played in that game, right?
Briefly, and then he got a concussion. And then it was, I believe, DeShone Kizer. They lost 31-0. And so at least the Packers defense did a good job yesterday.
That's fair. And the punter was good.
He was great. So, we will get some.
So you're saying this is in the Mount Rushmore of worst games you've ever watched as a beat writer.
What I'm basically trying to do here, besides get to break, is trying to think of any game that has any chance of even being in the same conversation. Because no, it was pitiful. It was everything I hoped it wouldn't be. Like, I was hoping, like, the guys that are the
what kind of bowl gifts did you get?
Nothing. I got my Channel 3000 hat. Everything that I was hoping would happen.
FBI is on next week.
Everything that I was hoping would happen, Bo Melton playing on both sides of the ball, Trayvon Diggs and Jalen Simpson both having interceptions, you know, the Jacoby Keeney, like the practice squad call-up guys scoring a touchdown. None of that happened. None of it. But Matt LaFleur did call timeout with 2 seconds left so he could kick a field goal and avoid the shutout. You should avoid getting hurt in an accident. It would be great if you never have to call Grubel offices. But if you do get hurt, that's the call to make. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Don't worry about all these other folks that are trying to get your business. Go with the team that has been doing it for 40 years and knows how to win. Go to gruber-law.com to find out more. We will get to more of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Packers, Bears, Saturday night on Amazon Prime.
By the way,
Prime.
Love this Saturday night compared to the rest of it. I was hoping against Monday night. Sunday night would have been
because that doesn't fit your schedule?
No, I just don't want to play Monday night. I just didn't want to. I think drag it out. I wanted it to be – I thought if I had a pick, Sunday afternoon was where I thought it was going to land, that 3:30 window. Mm-hmm. I thought that was going to be it. I was shocked that it wasn't. I thought for sure the Sunday night game was either going to be Philly, San Fran, or us and the Bears. Thought that was going to be it. And when New England fell into that, I was kind of like, whoa, okay. But mm-hmm. I'm kind of convinced. Because I'm not saying the NFL is scripted. I know there's plenty of fans that feel the way I don't. Do I think there's – I don't want to go down that. I just don't think that's the case. But do I think that they know Seattle's going to play Saturday night, are going to host next week, and they want to have a team that plays them on a full week's rest? I do. Oh, I do. And that's why I think they have the Rams, because they think the Rams are probably going to win.
Correct.
Now, obviously, it could all get thrown off, and San Francisco could win. We could lose to the Bears, and then it's San Fran heading back out to Seattle to see, you know, to see that matchup. This, again, I'll probably wait till next week to really make a push. Jesse, book Greeny for next Monday or Tuesday. I'm going to push to get this pick your opponent on that Tuesday show next week because I still think that is the right
book
thing
Greeny
for the NFL to do.
Get right on that. You already pitched the idea to him. He already said he liked it.
Well, I need him to amplify it. Him or McAfee. You can get either one of them. One of those two guys Greeny can help amplify this point. Either one's fine with me.
Greeny. The Saturday games, as Tausch said, are Rams at Panthers and Packers at Bears. The Sunday games, the early game
both
is Bills.
Both roadies are winning that game. Both roadies.
Bills at Jaguars.
Jaguars
the Bills
win
in that game? Oh, okay.
Nope.
49ers at Eagles.
Eagles win that game.
And Chargers, Patriots. In the nightcap.
Patriots win big.
And then the Monday night game, Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers playing host to the Houston Texans.
Houston wins big.
Okay, there you go.
Those are my predictions.
Make your predictions/wagers accordingly. We will go to back to the phones to kick off the 10 o'clock hour. Thomas in Chicago, you'll be first up. There are a few spots open still. We do not have full phone lines, which I know we enjoy at our end. So get your calls in, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Your calls to kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.